Our scripture reading this morning will come from Psalm 146. That's on page 525 in your pew Bibles. We'll be reading all 10 verses of Psalm 146. Hear now the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. Thus we've read Psalm 146. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Merciful Father in heaven, we thank you for your holy word, and we confess that this does come from you. You've given it to us to teach us, correct us, rebuke us, and train us in righteousness, to equip us for every good work, to show us your Son, the Lord Jesus. And we ask that you would do that this morning. Be with the proclamation of your word, that it might glorify your name and show forth your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm sure it's been impossible for anyone to miss the fact that we have an election coming up this week. You can't drive down the streets without seeing sign after sign after sign, or watch television, or even listen to the radio. And with the election comes certain temptations that we as Christians must be aware of and beware. Because there is always the constant temptation for us to take our trust away from the Lord Jesus Christ and put it in something else. And you can find in many places in the Scriptures this very warning that we see in verse 3, put not your trust in princes. Whether it's here, whether it's Psalm 118 that we read responsively. We can see that many people had fallen victim to it even in the time of Christ. There is a group of Jews called the Herodians who clearly follow King Herod and do what he wants and have made the mistake of putting their trust in the wrong place. We see such warnings in Scripture because it is a temptation that's not just for the old days when there were kings and monarchs and princes, but for us all. The temptation to trust in the power, the earthly power that princes and governments represent, is constant. Because it can't be denied that princes hold great earthly power. They sit atop big armies, they control the levers of power. Being on the right side of Pharaoh or Nebuchadnezzar or Alexander the Great or Xerxes or Caesar gives you great benefits. It's protection for you. It's riches and power for you. Two things that man often longs for, even still today. And thus the temptation to say, those princes can do things, they can make things happen. People say things, they say things and people do. And we have the temptation to then put our trust in them. But the psalmist here in Psalm 146 is warning us not to do it. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Because princes and governments are temporary. Because the truth is that all men are temporary. And therefore, even their time and power is temporary. Being in good with one Caesar doesn't mean that you'll be in good with the next one. Kings change, princes change, governments change. And they change for reasons besides just simply death. The prince may not get the power he expected. Maybe the king will leave it to somebody else. Some kings broke their kingdoms up, like Alexander the Great. Some princes are overthrown. Just read 1 and 2 Kings to get a good look at the trouble of kings and princes staying in power. Sometimes whole kingdoms are overthrown. One day Assyria is the most powerful kingdom in the world, and their prince, the most powerful man, and the next, Babylon. And then after that, Persia, Greece, Rome. And then the Mongols, and then Britain and France. And even one day America. The kingdoms and thus the princes of the earth are temporary. Men are changeable as well. You might be in good standing one minute and not in the next. Take a look at the book of Daniel. There we see people are able to convince the king that Daniel should be thrown in the lion's den. And they pass a law that says it's illegal to pray. And then they convict Daniel under it and they throw him in the lion's den. And those men are powerful and standing atop. But then the next morning, Daniel's alive. And they're the ones that get thrown to the lions. Even the greatest prince changes his mind or makes a mistake. There's no promise or certainty. Because as the psalmist points out here, there is no salvation in them. Put not your trust in princes and a son of man in whom there is no salvation. The princes and governments can't help you with your real problem. Sin. They can't help you get right with God. It doesn't matter how many laws they pass or how many things they say. It doesn't take care of the fundamental problem that you are a sinner and you have rebelled against God. They may have great earthly power, but that power is limited only to the earth. It's not the comfort in life and in death. Because as the psalmist points out here, death does come to us all. All princes die because that's the fate of man. Even the most powerful princes in the world are not immune to this truth that man is born, they live, and they die. And that no man lives forever here on earth. Death comes for all men. And princes have been trying to avoid it as long as there's been princes. Whether it's the ancient Babylonian prince king Gilgamesh who wanted to make sure he never died, and after he conquered and he did all his great things, he went to see the wise man, "How can I live forever?" And the wise man says, "If you could just beat sleep, you can beat death." And try as he might, Gilgamesh always fell asleep. And the wise man finally said, "If you can't even stay awake, how can you stay alive?" Or the pharaohs who built great temples to themselves and pyramids and said, "I'm just going to march on from this life to the next." And they mummify themselves and they made these great wells and the people stole all the gold and we have their mummies still today. Death came for them too. Death takes the rich, death takes the poor, death takes the noble, death takes the lower classes, the prince and the pauper both. Thus all kings and princes are temporary in nature because they're still human. And when he dies, so goes his power, so goes his ability to help, as power goes with his breath. On that very day his plans perish. But all of these things we've just said where the princes fall short, it's not true about God. God, the psalmist reminds us at the very beginning, he has power beyond just the earth. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. Blessed is the man whose hope is in the Lord his God. Verse 4, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them. There's great earthly power, and then there's the power to make the earth itself. He is the Almighty God who spoke, and the universe existed because of the power of His Word. Clearly He is greater than all things in the earth because He made the earth. This is what He reminds Job. Where were you when I told the water, go here and no further? Where were you when I made the mountains? Where were you when I set the stars in their heaven? Our God is greater than all things, and His great power, the power of creation itself, but not just in great power, He is also the God who keeps faith forever. The Lord keeps His word. If He makes a promise, He keeps that promise. He says what He's going to do and does what He says. He doesn't have memory slips. He doesn't have forgetful moments. He doesn't have a change of heart or mind. There's nothing in the whole universe that can stop Him from keeping His word. He doesn't miss appointments because He's stuck in traffic. God is faithful and He keeps what He says. He keeps faith forever. And He executes justice for the oppressed. He's the one who lets justice flow down like waters. It's to God and His justice that we should look and trust. And with God, it truly is justice. There's no bribing God. There's no injustice with God. There's no favoritism with God. And we know this truth too, that all will face God and will face His court of justice, either in this world or the next. No one can escape it, because God is justice. And His justice must be satisfied. For us as believers, we can find safety from that justice under the blood and sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. In that, the justice can be fulfilled. But for those who rejected Jesus, they will face this just judge without an advocate. They will be declared guilty and they will face the consequences. So even if someone manages to escape this world without facing the music, they will come face to face with God in the next. You will face God's justice either in Christ or on your own. It's the only two options. Our great God is the one who gives food to the hungry. There's a reason we pray for the Lord to give us our daily bread, because ultimately it's up to Him. He's the one who makes the crops grow. He's the one who sends the rain and the sun. Without His blessing, there'd be no food. There's no human in the world, no powerful prince that can declare, let the sun shine when it's not shining, or make it rain when it's not raining. We may have come a long way and have great technologies, but even our wondrous irrigation power would run dry if the Lord never sent rain again. Our food comes from His providential rule over the whole world. Then at the end of verse 7, we see that the Lord sets the prisoners free. And now we're beginning not only to see the power of God, but the nature of our God. Yes, He's able to set the prisoner free. There's not a power on earth that can keep someone imprisoned or enslaved when God wants to set them free. This verse shows us not only that God is greater and stronger than whatever might be keeping people prisoner, and yes, this is not just about physical prisoning, but a spiritual enslavement to sin and the power of the devil. But this verse also shows us God's heart and His desire to set His people free. The Lord cares for those who are imprisoned and trapped, and He will come to help those who are enslaved to sin. He comes to help those who are in need. And He comes to them with power as well as the desire to help them. He'll send His only begotten Son to save them. And to open the eyes of the blind. Our God restores sight. Physical blindness is obviously no match to the God who created the eye. Let's not forget that this is one of the signs in the Old Testament of the Messiah, that He would open the eyes of the blind, that He will have the power to restore sight. I do think the psalmist here is wanting us to begin to see and think about the Messiah and the promises, the One who's going to come and set us free from sin, who will open our eyes spiritually as well as physically. You could even think about Saul who becomes Paul. The Lord confronts him on the road to Damascus and takes away his sight physically, because it was already closed spiritually. And in that, he begins to hear the word of the Lord, and he begins to understand that I am a sinner and that I need grace, and the Lord Jesus is the Christ. And God sends Ananias to preach the word to him, and he repents and believes, and the scales fall off. And he takes baptism, his sight restored physically, and spiritually his eyes opened, so that he might see the Lord Jesus as the Savior. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. And what a beautiful picture of our God this is. People are bowed down, when they're pressed down, it's our God who comes along and He lifts up so that we might stand with His strength. Because under our own strength we can't do it. This is a picture of a person who's been battered and beaten and weighed down because they're under such a burden and under such a heavy load that they can't even rise. And God comes and He takes them and He lifts them up and He carries their burden. And He comes along and aids them. And He pulls the man to his feet, and He supports the newly standing man and bears his burden. It's a picture of a God who cares and who is willing and who knows our frame and our need. In Jesus, He does all of this and more. He bears the burden of God's heavy wrath against sin, and He takes it from us. And He watches over us in verse 9. He loves the righteous, and the Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. Our God is the good shepherd who keeps an eye on the sheep. Make sure they don't wander off or get lost or fall off a cliff. He watches over us so that the wolves and the lions and the bears don't come charging into the fold and ripping the sheep apart. He guards and defends and preserves and protects. Jesus is our good shepherd, and He lets us know that nothing can take us from His watchful and powerful hand. Not Satan, not sin, not the world, not even powerful princes who may wish to destroy us. Nothing. Jesus guards us so that we will be safe for all eternity. So the psalmist warns us, don't trust in princes, but do trust in God. As powerful as any government in the world may be, we cannot put our eternal faith in it. They're limited and finite and of no value when it comes to what really matters, our souls. Any government is bound to disappoint at some point. And any trust and strength of men will come to nothing after death. What we need is a Redeemer. And that government is not your Redeemer. But what we can trust in is what it says in verse 10, the Lord your God will reign forever. King Jesus is on the throne. It doesn't matter what comes or what we face. Jesus is the one who rules. Jesus is the one that we can put our trust in. Jesus is the one who saves us. And I hope you can see that here in Psalm 146, that it's Christ who fulfills all these things we see. He opens the eyes physically, but also primarily spiritually. He lifts up those who are bowed down, and He carries our burden and pays our sin. Jesus gives us food, including the spiritual food, which is Himself, because He's the bread that comes down from heaven. He sets the prisoners free, including us as prisoners from the power of sin and the devil. He's the one who watches over us, including going ahead to prepare a place for us in His Father's house, who defends and gathers and preserves us. It's Jesus Christ. Psalm 146 is saying, don't trust in the prince, don't trust in the government, trust in Jesus. Because there will come times when the government turns on you. There will come times when princes are against you. But Jesus Christ will never do that. He keeps faith forever. And you can be in His hand and know that there is no safer place in all the universe than being surrounded by the love of Jesus Christ. So let our response be the same as the response of this psalmist. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Praise the Lord. Such a truth that our God reigns should make our hearts sing. Should make us be able to say, it doesn't matter what comes upon us in this troubled life, in this veil of tears. We serve the King of Kings, the Almighty God, who can take whatever evil comes upon us and turn it to our good, because He is the Almighty God. He is also our faithful Father. He loves us. So be careful. Always be on your guard. Not to put your trust and your faith in places that the world puts it, but instead put it on the rock of Jesus Christ, who reigns forever. Let us pray. Gracious Lord in heaven, we thank You and we praise You. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. May Your name be praised and glorified forever. You do help us and save us. It's You who died on a cross for our sins. We thank You and we praise You. Help us live a life that shows others where the one true hope in life and in death is. It's in the Lord Jesus. In Your holy name we pray. Amen.